Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 65 of Forever Strength. We're continuing on with this really fun series we've had recently where we're bringing on our members of our program who've been either kind of newer or, in our case here with Laura Ferguson, quite long time. You've done several of our rounds and you've been really active within our community, which we appreciate. So Bailey and I obviously welcome you to the show, and we're excited to learn a little bit more about you. We do know that you're a speech language pathologist at the based out of the Glen Rose, which is here in Edmonton, Alberta. But yep. Want to learn more, but I'm going to pass the floor over to Bailey because she's got the questions.
Yes, as usual. And you said that you listened to the other ones, so you know the first question. How did you get into fitness, Laura?
Yeah, so I blame it entirely on my partner. He wanted to, so we've been together forever, married a million years, and he wanted to put a 8-foot by 8-foot platform in our basement as part of his like weight loss journey. He was doing a lot of strength training. And so we cut a deal that if he went to our like the gym, like an external gym for a set amount of time, I think it was like 6 months, then we could look at investing in a home gym. And he did. He got up at 5 a.m. and he went to the gym every morning, and he was like, hey, let's do this. And so we put the full platform and a rack and all of the bits and pieces. And I sort of dabbled in it a little bit, but wasn't super interested. He was very kind. As my kind of interest grew, he was programming for me. And he's not in the fitness field. He's not a personal trainer. He's just a good husband. And eventually I was, asking for more programming and asking him questions, and was sort of doing like maybe 2 to 3, maybe 2 kind of workouts per week. Not really too seriously, and kind of went like, I was like, I don't know if what he's doing is for me. And that was right around the time. So that was like, we got the platform in 2020, in March of 2020. And then in like January of 2022, Andrew's Instagram, which Drake follows, was advertising this beta program for women strength training. And he was like, should we ask about this for you? And my first instinct was like, no. And then I was like, wait, let's ask some questions. Let's find out. Maybe what's the commitment? How good do I have to be? And I have been, I think I've only missed one round since January of 2022. So yeah. So it's all my husband's fault that I weightlift.
Fault. Well, that's a good fault to have. Sorry, my dogs are just being distracting. So then you've been in, correct me if I'm wrong, 7 rounds, 7 of the 8. Or this, yeah. I guess, the 7th, right?
Yeah.
You find that there's been a difference from the start? Because, of course, that first round was our beta test where we're sort of like figuring out how to do things. Have you noticed significant changes in the programs?
I think like the idea of the program is still very similar to the beginning. And I think just as you guys streamline, get to know kind of what their feedback is, it just gets a little bit, I want to say, easier every round. I know we were investigating some new tech and some different types of programming and things like that. I know this one is maybe the second round that had like a intense focus. There was a round that we focused on chin-ups too. So yeah, the kind of base overall program has stayed the same. It just gets a little bit easier to jump in.
Yeah, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I like my overall knowledge of exercises and things. I don't have to spend so much time, peering at my YouTube videos that you, the demo videos you guys send, or I don't have to stop and check in the mirror and check Bailey and as much as I used to. So,
yeah.
Your skill level has been advancing. There's a few things that I love hearing here, and this is something uniform I want to see in the industry. And it's, I think we initially started this one out trying to appeal to more of an intermediate skill set. But we realized that being accessible to total beginners or relative newbies was actually really essential. And we've definitely wanted to make teaching and learning and like life skill development for fitness to be a core component, all while also offering something that made it really easy for people to just like, listen, I just want to show up, be told what to do. I know what to do. I don't want to think too much about it. We'll happily pay you guys to program this, but yet go independently on your own as opposed to like showing up for an appointment with a trainer, which we both do full time, right? So I'm glad it's worked out this well for you. So I want to hear more.
Yeah, I am. It's been really good. Really, I was looking for a way. Honestly, it was exactly what I needed. I was looking for a way to make it more mine instead of relying on Drake. And partially, the timing was really good because Drake is, like I said, not my partner, isn't a personal trainer. He just does a lot of research, follows a lot of well-regarded people. But he was starting to program for me, and I would say things like, are you sure? Is this the best version for me? And so the beta program came out at the perfect time because all of a sudden I was starting to be a little bit more involved and care a little bit more. And I had questions for him that he was like, I don't know, I'm doing you a favor. So it was really good that I could take a little bit of ownership of it. And I could say things like, well, there's a form video or there's substitution examples. Or so we do have a home gym in our basement. And usually I work out 3 times a week at home and then one in like a City of Edmonton facility. So I can try out some, well, it's our like Saturday morning treat is we gym and then we swim. So we do our workouts and then we go dunk in the hot tub as like a little reward for ourselves. And I get to try out some equipment that just doesn't fit in my basement. So, but it's been really nice to, kind of build my knowledge of different exercises and available substitutions and what the form is supposed to look like. I'm not going to become a bodybuilder. I'm not going to compete in powerlifting or Olympic lifting, competitions. I'm just in it to feel strong and fit and confident. So it's been really good for those sorts of aspects of my life and that kind of idea of being able to do it independently and just whenever my schedule allows. I don't have to, schedule it and then travel across the city. I can just go in my basement and, do a chunk whenever I can.
Yeah. And the substitutions that we provide sort of give people that option to have it where if they do have a home gym that, I mean, yours is from the videos that you've posted in our group, you have quite a bit of stuff down there, which is nice.
We do. We have quite a bit of stuff. And I'm eating a little bit of crow for that because every time Drake proposed a new machine, I was like, do we need that? And then I'm using them all throughout the programs. So I'm like, never mind. Guess we did.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been really good. And something I've really noticed is, so I switched gyms somewhere along the lines. I was going to like a private facility, but like a low budget facility. And then now I'm going to a city facility and my gym confidence has been really, really good. So when I first started going to the private low budget facility, Drake was like my safety blanket or my security blanket. And I heard somebody or read, I think one of the group members posted about how they go with their partner, but their partner has to stay close. And absolutely, that was a thing. He used to have to like stay in the area with me. He'd have to get me set up, point out the machines that I needed. And then like, it was almost like I needed him to validate my ability to be there. But then as the rounds progressed and as I got more confident and I knew what I was doing, I can wade through the squat racks and, gently push the dude bros out of the way to get what I need or, ask them politely to move. But that's been a big change for sure throughout the rounds is like it used to be that if I walked up to a machine that I needed and it was in use, I was like, oh, yes, we'll treadmill for 45. Like it would totally, totally ruin my flow and my confidence. And it's funny because I like actually hate cardio, but used to be a cardio bunny. Like before this, if we went to the gym, I'd be like, okay, I guess I'll be on the elliptical for 45 minutes. See you soon. And honestly, cardio is something I have to schedule and force myself to do because I hate it, but I like lifting. So.
Yeah. That's funny. My husband is not really a gym goer and I would really love him to be, but you can't force that kind of stuff, unfortunately. But he's sort of the same way. And even though this is my job and I've been in this field for a while now, when I started as a personal trainer, he wouldn't take my programs. Like he wouldn't do anything with them. He kind of sort of just like, oh yeah, well, whatever. Which I guess is kind of the opposite in your situation where he wasn't necessarily a professional and used to listen to him, but then started questioning him later. But now it is when I got a little bit further into my career, he started trusting me a little bit more. So I still build his programs, whether he does them or not is up to him. But sometimes I'm like, hey, let's go to the gym. There's that little bit of pushback. But sometimes I just have to make him go. And it's kind of like having a personal trainer, but then he does the same thing where if there's gym bros around, he's not comfortable being there, which is unfortunate. But if I go down and I show him how to do it, then he sticks to it. So I'm hoping he goes the same direction as you, where he gets a little bit more comfortable going to the gym on his own.
My partner has made me, sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
I was gonna say, Drake has made comments that it used to be his hobby and he was like pulling me through the mud to do it. And now he would consider it that it's like both of our hobbies. And that, like I said, I've taken a little bit more ownership of it and I'm more invested, I guess, than I was previously.
I'll quickly say that Bailey even brought him to train group, because when Bailey was originally training with me, she would bring him along for me, so he would train with me. So I guess if he got exposed to me and saw that I was friendly and not scary, probably diffuses the other gym bros. But I was going to ask you, and I kind of get this impression that did your knowledge base skill set actually surpass your partner's to the point where like he relies on you for anything now, or is he growing along with you?
He's growing along with me, but also he cheats a little bit. So he'll be like, what did Andrew and Bailey say for a substitution for this? Like, so he's using me to get to you, which is totally fine. It was fun because he asked me like, can you check my form for hip thrusts? And I was like, yeah, I can. So just some things like that. It's a little bit more balanced out. I think we're probably a very similar level, but less hesitancy from me.
Tell him that he has an invitation to ask me anything on Instagram anytime. If he brought you to us and you've done this much, he's earned that in spades. I'm always... Okay. So
yeah, he actually surprised me last year with a personal training session with Andrew for my birthday. So he was like, this would be fun for you. And it super was. Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we mentioned at the beginning that you are a speech pathologist. Maybe I need your help. do you find that there's a connection between that and training in terms of longevity?
Definitely. So I work with like a lifespan age. So I see pediatrics, so kids under 3, and I also see adults. And so depending on my day, I could be sitting on the floor or, you know, following a kiddo in a wheelchair or a walker. So I'm always in weird positions. Their devices can be heavy. We have assistive communication devices that we mount on wheelchairs and things. And so there is actually a lot of positioning and lifting that is part of my job that I'm definitely better equipped as I'm strong and able. So, and also throughout the pandemic, there was lots of some interesting redeployments and things that lots of public healthcare workers got repetitive motion injuries from, you know, swabbing or doing different duties that they hadn't done previously. And I was training all through that and I didn't experience any of those same issues.
Yeah. I was going to say that March 2020, when you guys started building your home gym, that was kind of really
perfect timing. Yeah. What else do you do in lockdown time other than go downstairs and work out? So yeah.
That'd be a good thing to spend your time on though, right?
Yeah, totally.
Just out of curiosity, do you find that there's a connection between the older patients that you work with and their health and fitness, if they've trained or anything?
I definitely think that as a society, we tend to be a little heavier and more stationary than ideal. And there's lots of, you know, kind of associated health risks with that sort of lifestyle, right? So I do have patients that are post-stroke for various reasons, or, you know, brain injury or things like that, that can be related to some of those kind of lifestyles. So for sure.
Maybe not causal, but at least correlated.
Yeah.
There's so many people who are, even in our industry, who are uncomfortable talking about this because there's so much pushback from sort of one ideological camp that talks about, oh, there's no relationship between, you know, your body, how much body fat you have and your fitness. And it's often framed like, well, can't look at someone and tell what their fitness is. And that's actually objectively true as a moment in time, because we have people who have restricted nutrition. You're talking about eating disorders, disordered eating behaviors, and we don't know what their metabolic health is like. But where that gets into trouble is when we ignore the long-term relationship between excess body fat and inactivity, and those two tend to go together, and the risk of cardiac poor health, metabolic dysfunction, increase in blood sugar, things like prediabetes, risk of diabetes. I'm fumbling over this. Certain lifestyle cancers are associated with inactivity and increased adiposity. And then it appears like there's a stronger understanding of the relationship between metabolic dysfunction and Alzheimer's and certain neurodegenerative type diseases. And it's one of these things where we can no longer deny the relationship. And while it's not fair to say, look at that person and go, because of this much body fat, you're unhealthy. Things like BMI, very useless for the individual. Also, they're different for people from different ethnic backgrounds. That's a very real thing. Across a population, BMI, even the ones that scream about BMI, it does tell a fairly big picture when it comes to populations. But I think where people get into trouble is if they are virtually inactive, right, totally sedentary, if they're over-consuming calories to the point where they're progressively gaining body weight, though that combination is going to have a very powerful relationship with an increased risk of one or more of these metabolic issues that's going to lead to, early mortality or very poor quality of life as we get older. And that's how I try to frame it, to get around some of the polarizing fights in our industry. So anyway, I wanted to kind of run with that a little bit. I apologize for hijacking, but.
No, it's fun, actually. I think the perceptions about, fitness and specifically training, I definitely, when I tell people that I weightlift or, family members find out, somebody inevitably will say something like, you don't want to get too bulky. Which I know people have talked about previously too, which is so funny, but I'm of the mindset that if I'm working out consistently 4 times a week, I want to look like I work out 4 times a week. I want to aim for it. But it's such a tricky game, right? Like, in terms of, previous members have talked about taking up space and being okay with, body changes. And I think I am probably the heaviest I have ever been in my life. And that's even like, not count, or that's considering the 15 pounds we all gained in grad school, but my body is different. Like, I'm also probably the most fit I've ever been. So it's kind of this balance of feeling strong and able to get some personal best in my lifting, but also eating enough to maintain. And there was definitely a lot of years that I wasn't eating enough, that I was eating at a pretty significant calorie deficit, and it wasn't enough to support like energy levels and training and things like that. So it's such a weird kind of, especially women in strength training is such a weird kind of niche that there are so many kind of competing opinions about.
Yeah, and that's the thing, opinions. Like, if it's not about your body, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? If I'm a vet that, you don't want to get bulky. Well, why do you care if I look bulky? Maybe that, yeah. I want to look bulky, like you said, I want to look like I lift weights. So you mentioned earlier that your partner is more so, or was, on the weight loss sort of thing. Do you find that you guys did similar workouts? Like you said that he did strength training. Did you find that some of it was just like completely different, or it was pretty similar?
Similar sorts of things. When I first started, he had me on like a 5-3-1 kind of ideal, which I liked because I wasn't super committed. I needed it to be short. I needed it to be quick. I wasn't in it for 12 reps or struggle. Whereas now I can handle those things and be fine with it. So he was very strategic with what he, programmed for me, and we didn't come out of the gate doing deadlifts. We kind of worked up to it, and It's actually been really, really good. And I'm very proud of, like I said, my gym confidence. And, you know, if the machine I need now is in use, I can just go to the next one, or I can remember a substitution. A few weeks ago, I was training with a friend of mine at a city facility, and it's not my normal one. I went to hers, and it's actually Commonwealth, where the Edmonton Elks train. And we ended up back in where the platforms are, right at the time that their workout was about to start. And so all of the platforms were empty for like an hour, and just the like last 10 minutes that I needed it, all of a sudden I was surrounded by football players hip thrusting. I was like, I'm gonna finish my sets. But that would have been enough. Like, even their presence probably 3 years ago would have been enough for me to be like, and I'm done. But I was like, nope, like, if you could move your speaker off the platform, I'm not done yet. I have more sets, thanks. Like, that is probably like my proudest achievement in terms of taking up space in the gym and feeling, you know, confident to be there.
Yeah. And sort of like you belong there.
Yeah, totally.
Membership, right? You paid to be there. You're allowed to take up space. Yeah. That moving the speaker off the platform, though, I find a lot of people get a little bit uncomfortable. And it's because someone else wasn't being considerate, and then you feel bad asking. Do you find that?
There's definitely been moments in the gym, and I'm not a judgy gym person. Like, I agree with you. I think everybody has a right to be in the gym, regardless of your knowledge, your comfort. Everybody's got it's a space. The only time I'm judgy in the gym is if people don't wipe down their equipment. Or like, you know, they're thieving things out from under. But most of the time, it's people that are just trying to find their way, and they don't quite get what the etiquette is. Like, I've definitely had people, you know, set their bench right on top of yours and be like, oh, actually, I'm using this one. Let's have a little bit more space for safety. And most of the time, if you just say like, oh, I'm not done yet, people will be pretty, pretty receptive. I don't think I've ever had like a really, truly negative gym encounter.
Yeah, and I would say that kind of stuff doesn't happen at Evolve either. Not often anyway, so.
It's really rare. I mean, Evolve is kind of unique because I think people self-select, like the people with more experience, more etiquette, or, you know, a lot of newcomers, beginners who are seeking out skilled coaches, but they're coming in without any of that chip on their shoulder. I worked in commercial gyms for a long time, Bailey did. Bailey was working at a women's only one, which probably has its own dynamic and pecking order and weird shit, but the co-ed one, holy shit. Honestly, it was really good most of the time, but there's always stuff, and you get some really bad stereotypes and some ego shit, and you get gym bullies, and they're not common. And I don't want to perpetuate fear, but my attitude was I would always like take, I would deal with the gym bullies. Sometimes that would create conflict with the managers because I wanted to make sure it was a safe space for everybody else. And I ran a few nasty individuals, selfish, predatory individuals out of that gym, just because I just could not tolerate their presence because they were ruining the experience for other people. So I really am a big believer in standing up against that kind of rubbish. And it's really cool when you can stand your ground. I mean, some of that stuff is probably innocent, but thoughtless. But if you can still like stand up and say, no, I'm using the space. I remember one of my online clients, she was bench pressing using a bar. She calls bars rods. Anyway, so some guy came over and literally like took it from the bench from her because he didn't think she would need it. And she's like, no, like, give me back my rod. Like, she confronted him, took back the bar, was not having this dude come and steal her barbell. So I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah, I haven't really had anything be too negative. And I think at one point, I can't remember if it was Andrew or Bailey or one of you guys had a post on like the spotlight effect in the gym. And I think that's really, really true, especially maybe for women. You have this idea that you feel like everybody is looking at you and everybody is judging. But really, they might be like, oh yeah, that girl has a barbell, or be like, oh yeah, her shoes are blue. Like, I find myself doing the same thing, right? You're like staring off into space, waiting for your, you know, time between sets. And you're like, oh yeah, that's a nice shirt. Or I'm thinking like, what's for dinner? I'm terrible because I have a really significant resting bee face. And so I have to be like actively monitoring that in the gym. So I try to make sure I'm not snarly, but I also very intentionally have a really big pair of like over the ear noise canceling headphones. And I bought them specifically for when I was going to the private low budget gym, because I wanted to give the F off vibe. Like, I don't need anybody to come near me, and I don't need anyone to give me tips. So It's a teeny bit strategic.
That's a good strategy. I don't hide mine, honestly. I just stare through people. Some days I'm in the mood to chat, but those days are very rare.
I feel hesitant to interrupt you when you're working out at Evolve. My two of my best friends, they both work out at Evolve, right? They're both moms. They're both like in their early 40s. They both totally resting bitch face, leave me alone sort of thing. One wants to be left alone. The other one is actually just really like socially awkward and wants to make friends and likes people. And it's funny because other women, including one of Bailey's clients who I know really well, has like looked at my friend and been like, she's bad for my like self-esteem, but I want to be friends with her. Because my friend is like, you can see abs, but she has no concept of what she looks like. She's worried what people think. She's same spotlight effect thing. And what I've noticed is a lot of members look at her like she's in incredible shape, and they actually have great admiration for how hard she works and how dedicated she is. So you never know what they're like behind that wall.
Just started to get to the point to the gym that we go to that there's a couple ladies that come with their trainer on Saturdays, and I've just gotten to the point that they'll like, we know each other's names and they say hi. And in the summertime, things were really busy, so we weren't going to the gym as much, or we were going on like a Sunday, which isn't our normal day. And one of the ladies was like, hey, I missed you. You look great. Nice to see you. And it was just like so, so welcoming and so nice. So I want to do more of like, you know, occasionally taking the headphones off and taking the time to, you know, check in with those people and make some gym friends.
Yeah, nice. That would be for between sets and before and after your workout, right?
Yes. Yeah. I like don't like give me a quick nod and then leave me be. But yeah, same.
Just out of curiosity as well, when you started our program, I find that some people, when they start strength training, their nutrition just gets better because they start seeing changes in their abilities. So they just want to eat better so that they're getting the right nutrient dense foods in to sort of aid with their performance. Do you find that you have sort of gone that direction as well?
Yeah, we pretty like, so my partner's been on a weight loss journey for a little while, and so we've been a little bit more tuned in to nutrition than maybe the average person. But I think the most that's changed for me is just being more intentional about like my macros rather than specific. I used to just track like calorie intake, but now I'm like, oh, did I get enough protein today? And all of my snacks are like protein shakes or protein bars or cottage cheese or beef jerky and like all of like our cooking has changed. It's always just like meat and a veg or a protein and a veg most of the time. And so it's definitely like caused some positive habit changes.
That's good. Nice. We here.
Yeah. I think that's an amazing end point. I think that's actually probably one of the nicest takeaways from all this. And yeah, I've noticed the same thing too. You get people, I got a new client, I don't overwhelm with nutrition. I always try to get them feeling good about the habit in the gym. And I usually notice that they make the nutrition changes on their own just because they want to, which is really cool. Laura, you've been incredible. Thank you again. Everybody tuning in, thanks for staying tuned into this series. These have been really fun. We'll bring you another great guest next week. And just thank you so much, guys. You've been wonderful, everybody.